kid, what did you dream of for yourselves? Is it the same as what ended up happening? I know when I was a little kid, I think the very first dream I had for myself was I wanted to grow up to be a babysitter like the aunt that I idolized. Little bit later, I wanted to be a meteorologist, and as I grew, some of these dreams changed. Throughout it all, I always imagined myself being married and raising children, experiencing nature as often as possible, and of course, maintaining my connection with my God. So I invite you to take a moment to think about some of your dreams from when you were a little kid. And I know there are some little kids here. You have an advantage. What are your dreams right now? And now I invite you to take one of those dreams and share them with somebody nearby. As we reflect on these dreams, you can compare if they became a reality or not. Think about what that means for your life. Today, we are intersecting with the story of Moses at the very end of his life. He is standing on a mountaintop with God, overlooking the entire promised land. As far as Moses' eye can see, is land that God is about to gift to the nation of Israel, to all of the Israelites. And as Moses is looking at this landscape, he sees the mountains and he sees the valleys and he sees all those plains in between. And he's probably imagining, how are these people going to move in? There are 12 tribes of Israel. Where will they put their houses? Where will they build their cities? Where will their flocks roam? Also, Moses is standing on this mountaintop knowing he's at the end of his life. And so I believe he's also metaphorically looking over the landscape of his life. And he's thinking about the high moments and the low moments and the plains in the middle. And as Moses is looking at what his life has become, how closely do you think that aligns to the dreams he had as a little kid? Now, maybe you know the story of Moses. He didn't have a very bright start. He was born into slavery. He was born to an Israelite family that was enslaved in Egypt. And this was a particularly bad time to be born, especially as a baby boy. Because despite how harsh the Egyptians were to the Israelites, they had taken God's command to be fruitful and multiply to heart, and they were doing it. Despite how backbreaking their labor was and how little food they received, they were continuing to thrive and to multiply in numbers. And this terrified the Egyptians. They saw that these people they were treating so badly were getting more and more numerous, and they were terrified that these people would rise up in a rebellion. So the Egyptians decided they needed to do something to stop the population growth. And out of many terrible tactics, probably the worst one is they decided that the male babies would not live. And it was into this moment that Moses was born. His mother did as much as she could to protect him. She hid him for as long as possible, for 3 whole months. But then you know what happens to 3-month-old babies. They start to get noisier. They find their voice. They start to find their muscles. They start to explore the world. She couldn't hide him anymore. So she bundled him up and placed him in a basket in the reeds in the river. And she instructed his older sister to keep an eye on him. She said, "Miriam, watch your baby brother." But Miriam's eye wasn't the only eye that was on little baby Moses. You see, another young woman was also in the water, and she happened to be the daughter of Pharaoh, the most powerful man in all of Egypt, the instigator of all of these terrible policies. But she saw this little baby, and she decided to adopt him and take him home as her own. And so Moses grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh. How do you think that affected his dreams for his life? I imagine this little boy seeing that his adoptive grandfather is Pharaoh and very possibly thought, well, one day I too will grow to be Pharaoh. Or maybe somebody had told him about his heritage and his relationship to the Israelites. And maybe his heart yearned to have a connection with those people. And he thought, one day I will build a bridge and I will know my birth family and we will have a relationship. I know that by the time he was a young man, his dreams had changed again. He had found a way to alienate both his birth and his adoptive families through an act of violence. And then he fled and he left the bustling cities of Egypt and went out to the countryside. And his only dream was to live a quiet life where nobody's eyes would be on him. Out there in the wilderness, he found a wife and he ended up working on her father's land. But of course, we know God's eye was on Moses the entire time. One thing I can predict with 99% accuracy, I don't believe for one second Moses ever dreamed of going for a 40-year walk through the Sinai Desert with a couple hundred thousand people following behind him. This was not the dream he had for himself. But while he was out there, working on his father-in-law's land, God approached him with some new dreams. God had some ideas about Moses and how Moses would live his life. And honestly, Moses did not like those ideas. He had every excuse he could come up with, pushing God back, until finally his last excuse was, "But God, I'm just not a good public speaker." Well, there you go, right? But God every time came up with a solution for every excuse Moses could offer. And finally, Moses gave up and submitted his dreams for his own life to God, allowing God and God's dreams to take over. It seems that God's dreams for Moses' life didn't exactly align with Moses' dreams for himself. This little baby that was born into slavery, God dreamed would become a powerful leader, leading all of these people to freedom. And this little boy that grew up learning only about Egyptian gods, God dreamed for him that they would have such a close relationship that they would be able to speak to each other face to face. And this little baby who grew up alienated from all of his families, God dreamed would develop such a deep and profound relationship with his Israelite family that they would trust him and follow him wherever he instructed them to go. And this little boy who grew up not feeling that he had a true home anywhere, God dreamed he would be the one to lead the Israelites to their promised home. God's dreams were far bigger than any dream Moses could come up with for himself. What about in our lives? Have you ever had a moment where you realized God's dreams for you were different from your own dreams for your life? Maybe you dreamed that one day you would lead whatever company you work for, but God's dream for you might be that you are stabilizing the department you are in. Or maybe God's dream for you is that you will leave and go somewhere completely different and start something completely new. Or maybe your dream was to have a ton of kids, but God's dream for you was that you would love every child in your neighborhood. Or maybe like Moses, your dream for yourself was to lead a quiet, inconspicuous life where you didn't bother anybody and nobody bothered you. But God's dream for you is that you would stand up for what's important and what matters, that you would use your voice and also become a leader, showing people God's way. It seems that God has a good record of having bigger dreams for us than we do for ourselves. And when we reflect on what our lives might mean and where they are going, we then are forced to reflect on this landscape. And what are we leaving behind? What is the legacy that we are hoping will be left behind when we depart this earth? Now, if Moses had won the argument with God, and God had said, fine, Moses, you just stay on your father-in-law's land. I'll leave you be. I'll go find somebody else to lead those Israelites. We wouldn't be talking about Moses today. We would never know his name. He would have lived and died inconspicuously, and he would not be the leader that we know today. But in fact, because he submitted his dreams to God and allowed God's dreams to take over, Moses is now known as one of the most powerful, the most consequential leaders that the Israelites ever had. In fact, he was so important to their story, he is also incredibly important to our story. Anytime any one of us starts to feel stuck or trapped, or like we're lost and we're wandering around, we refer to the story of the Exodus and we bring up Moses, because we are reminded just by speaking Moses' name that God can break chains and lead people to freedom. What is the legacy we want to leave? When we reflect on our legacies, typically the conversation revolves around material objects. We think, I want my legacy to be the building with my name on it, or I want my legacy to be the awards I won with my name on it, or I want my legacy to be something that I enacted, some law or some process that I started, and I want people to remember my name. But what do we think? In a couple hundred years, will anybody really remember those things about us when the buildings crumble and the awards get all tarnished? Will anybody even remember our name, where we lived, the type of music we listened to, what we stood for? No. However, if we are looking to leave a legacy that is eternal, we will submit these dreams of ours to God and allow God to take leadership. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Submitting our dreams to God means following in the footsteps of Jesus. You know, Moses, when he took those Israelites around in the desert for 40 years, it really wasn't that great of a distance. If he had gone from Egypt to the promised land, he could have led all those people there in about 3 weeks. But it took him 40 years. So obviously, God had some work to do there in the wilderness, growing the people and growing Moses. If anybody were to look at his roadmap, they would think he was crazy and directionally challenged. And the same comes from us following in the footsteps of Jesus. It might not make sense to anybody else. They might say, you could be quicker, you could be faster, you could be more powerful if you did it this way. But when we follow in the way of Jesus, Jesus will take us on a journey that will change us and shape us and shape the people around us. And when we look back over the landscape of our lives, we will see footprints, but they won't be our own. We will have been following in the footsteps of Jesus. And the things that we touch will have fingerprints on them, but they won't be ours. They will be the fingerprints of Jesus. We will be leaving the legacy of Jesus behind us when we walk in his way. And what is the legacy of Jesus? It is a legacy of grace and generosity, mercy, compassion, belonging, welcome. It is a legacy that changes the world through love. And that legacy is eternal. when we look back over the landscape of our lives, we want to see that our lives have left an eternal impact. Maybe not by buildings or awards or anything we can see our name on, but we will have left a world shaped through the love and compassion of Jesus Christ, a world that is better and stronger because it knows the love of its Savior. May this then be the legacy we leave, the legacy of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, when we look over where we have gone and what we have done, we admit to you that it has not always been for your glory. Today, we submit to you our dreams. We ask that you will take over, that your dreams for us will come to fruition, and that the way we live, the way we speak to people, the way we treat others will be a testimony to your legacy and the shape you are making us all into. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.